ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another week of Wrecking a Race. I am your host, the Gas Man, with my co-host, Lugs.
How's it going, everybody?
So welcome back, and first off, Stephanie, Dustin, Carrie, Joe, Monica, your stuff will be sent out very soon, I promise. I am slow at making your gifts that we're sending you, and I completely apologize for that. But it is coming your way, we promise.
He's hand-whittling them.
Yes.
Out of sticks.
Yes.
Just kidding. Yeah.
So, fans, welcome back, as always. This week's going to be a very interesting week to talk about. Very good times at Michigan. But, as always, we want to start off with the show saying thank you, fans. Reach out to us. We're definitely going to ask you to reach out to us this week to get preparation for next week. So I'll go ahead and say that now. Next week is an off week for the Monster Energy Series. So what we need from you fans are questions. We're going to have a Q&A on our episode next Wednesday. So we want you, the fan, to send us questions for us to answer on our next episode. WreckingandRacing@gmail.com. You can message us on Facebook and Twitter as well. Anything you want to add to that, Lugs?
No, it could be anything, whether it's just from maybe your favorite driver or...
We're opening the door for anything.
Yeah, first anything. Race you ever went to, your favorite race you ever watched on TV, your favorite paint scheme of all time. I know we kind of posted that on our Facebook a couple weeks ago, but yeah, we're just open to anything. Just throwing a couple ideas out there to get the ball rolling. But send us anything that you want to ask questions or talk about.
And going forward, don't hesitate to email us each week. And again, WreckingRacing@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. Follow us on iTunes. If you whatever platform you do follow us on, iTunes, Google Play, whatever, please rate us, like us, tell people about us. That's how we get the news to you, is by having those people to kind of push that information for us. So again, thank you. As always... We ready to start off with our official drink of NASCAR. We're switching up this week just for craps and giggles. We're going to drink a Monster Energy this week.
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson might not like that.
True. So we'll discuss that in a little bit.
Inside joke until we get to it here in a little bit. A little bit of possible rumor mill going on. But let's talk about Michigan.
Yeah, so Michigan, as we have been, there hasn't been enough decent racing in the last couple of weeks to really talk about the race, other than, hey, who's the winner? This week was the weatherman, Clint Bowyer.
Mr. Bowyer, yeah.
Yeah, and why do I call him the weatherman?
Because I think he's won both races this year when it was,
climate. Weather delayed.
Yeah.
Weather, I mean, the guy won a snow delayed race. I mean, how many times does that happen?
It's true.
He turns around and wins this rain-shortened race for a second win of the year. So what does this victory, not this victory, but Clint Bowyer himself, do for Stuart Haas that no other team has done this year?
Is that a hypothetical question? Or
no, it's it's not rhetorical or hypothetical, but it's more as in I'm asking you, what has Stuart Haas done this year that no other team has done?
I don't know.
Have multiple winners.
Really?
Yeah, with Bowyer winning at Martinsville and Harvick doing all the winning he has, Stuart Haas is the only team this year with more than one winner.
Wow. I really hadn't stopped to think about that.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Now we're so used to Gibbs winning multiple, Hendrick winning multiple. Yeah.
That's interesting. I honestly did not even think about that. But that's pretty crazy. And on top of that, you had Kurt Busch finish right there in third.
So
1-2-3 finish for Haas.
Yeah, so. And Almirola had a decent race, and then he fell back, then he came up, then he fell back again. He ended up finishing...
11th.
11th, yeah.
Yeah.
So right outside the top 10, and that's kind of like where he is in points, too.
7 of the top 10 were Fords.
Crazy.
They got some steam under the hood.
And for a short time there, the Chevys looked like they may had some top 5 cars. And then they fell off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And spun out Larson.
Yeah. Hey, Larson, that sounds familiar. Did you pick him to win this week?
You know, I did, and that didn't happen. So
yeah,
but I don't think your pick panned out either.
Picker pan.
Picker eater. Yeah. So neither one of us really had a good week with our picks. I had Larson and Jones, so I came home 28th, and where was Jones? 15th. Where were you at?
I had Truex and Bowman, and I didn't fare too well. Truex was 18th, and Bowman was 16th. So I averaged 17.
Your average is better than mine, but
pretty much every week it is.
Yeah, the last few, yeah. So
let's just talk about the race. So yeah. We obviously know Clint Bowyer won. What kind of insights during the race did you have, Lugs?
I thought the racing was pretty good. Honestly, there was a decent amount of passing,
but not for the lead.
There was some good lead changes.
There was on a restart, it was a good battle. Then that once that person got in front, they got in front.
So my biggest gripe from the weekend is why the heck didn't more crew chiefs gamble on that last pit stop?
Only one team took two tires.
Yes, everybody.
And they won the race.
Yeah. So why didn't more people take two tires or just, you know, try to stay out on no tires or something? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and they were saying time and time again, the rain is coming. Rain is coming. They're talking
about how many times have we seen that happen where a caution comes out when weather's in the area? Caution comes out for unrelated weather issue, car crashes or debris or whatever. And this happens. Someone, you know, steals a win. Remember Chris Buescher did it a couple years ago at Pocono, last week's race. So I just don't understand why more people didn't gamble.
I mean, you had Dylan in 14th, Eric Jones 15th, Alex Bowman 16th, and AJ Allmendinger 17th. Those four guys
had nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly. They should all, they're mid-pack, all should take it. Because if they took no tires or two tires, they would have been up there, and then how far would they have fallen back? Not that far.
Right.
Not where they were.
Right.
So I agree with you. Get up on your soapbox, Lugs. I want to hear it, but I agree with you.
Well, I do have a little bit of a soapbox to get on this week, but it's not necessarily with that. I mean, that was a gripe, but you'll hear my other soapbox later.
Okay.
It has to do with the Xfinity series, but...
Gotcha.
But hey, yeah, you know, these guys are getting paid the big bucks, so why weren't they, you know, taking that leap? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's a very good point to make, and... You know, when you're sitting back there, and one win can get you into the playoffs.
But not only that, man. I mean, think about Kyle Busch. Yeah, he's got 3-4 wins already in the bag. Why wouldn't you gamble?
Yeah, I mean, he literally has nothing to lose.
Exactly. Or, you know, Keselowski in sixth. He's solidly in. Come on, guys.
Yeah, Eric Jones, I mean, just for a guy who's had an up-and-down season, he has nothing to lose and all to gain.
Right.
So, I agree. Why not take that chance? Maybe they had a feeling that it was just going to be a quick little shower, then it's going to be out of its way, and they're going to get started up again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But NASCAR called it really quick after they threw that red flag.
Yeah, they did. They did. Absolutely.
We did have some troubles before the race. Did you see that in the inspections? All three Joe Gibbs cars. So, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Eric Jones. Actually, I guess Daniel Suarez didn't because I didn't see his name.
Mm-mm, no.
So he went 3 of the 4 Joe Gibbs cars. How about that?
Yeah.
Failed pre-race inspection for an unapproved splitter. So they had to fix that and start from the back of the pack.
They were saying the splitters weren't flat. Is that what it was? I believe I read.
I think you're right on that.
So
yeah, I'm not 100%. I just seen it was unapproved. I didn't see the exact issue, but you're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that being said, what did that get them this week?
Nothing really.
It got them suspended.
Well, but it didn't get them, you know, any edge.
No,
I don't feel like.
I mean,
either.
Kyle finished fourth.
He was
would finish fourth anyway.
The only Toyota in the top 10.
Yeah, you had Hamlin at 12th, Eric Jones at 15th. So they all three finished in top 15, but still.
Really uncharacteristic day for Truex, too. Coming home 18th. And there was one point where. Well, ironically enough, you just mentioned Suarez. Suarez spun, but it was because Truex was backing up so much.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that part there, but
yeah,
it looked like
chain reaction.
Yeah, his car just wasn't to his liking.
No, I agree.
So, you know, I don't know. 2-mile track, right? So is that going to be something we see a little more of?
I think it's a
few races, or
I think it's a fluke. I don't see it being the norm for him. So unless they really take a step back, and I don't see that happening. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little step, but not a big step. So maybe as they're taking a step back, maybe Chevy will take a step forward. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You know,
there was that time I said that the Chevy's actually looked pretty good. Byron was running up there.
He
Larson
was top 10. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he came home 13th, so still good showing for that rookie team.
Yeah, but unfortunately things happen, spins happen, and all that stuff. So.
Right, right. So, yeah, exactly. So that brings me to my next talking point. Kyle Larson, how many times is he going to spin this year?
Anytime you bring up his name and you expect him to do well, he finds a way to
screw
it up.
I'm not
going to
pick him anymore because every other race he's spinning or crashing or something. I mean,
yeah. And it started towards the end of last season. It really hit hard, and it's been consistent now.
His inability this season to have clean races is just kind of ridiculous. So he had similar spins that he had this week at Michigan, at Phoenix and Charlotte. And then he also wrecked at Texas, Talladega, Daytona, Kansas. So it's the exact same kind of situation here.
So how many races is that?
I mean, gosh, 7, 8.
So we're, what, 12, 13 races into the season?
Exactly. And he's still in the top 10 in points.
Yeah, that's
so
like...
He salvaged it. He does come back. Like Bristol, he almost came back and won Bristol after he spun off of Newman, if you remember that. So he can rebound, but, man, just think what he could do if he didn't spin.
Yeah, so he's digging his own holes because he also had some pit road issues a little bit, too.
Yeah, so
digging a hole, that's hard to come out of.
Arguably the best Chevy driver all year, right? But also arguably the sloppiest.
Yeah.
So
is
it the car? Is it just that much on edge to him? I don't know. But they need to get their stuff together.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're pushing the limit so much that they're literally riding on that paper thin edge.
And that's what you saw at Michigan, right? He was up high, up high, up high, and then snap, it was gone.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. That's another small soapbox for me this week.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
Lug's getting fired up. We don't see that very often, folks.
So we talked about, you know, why there weren't more crew chiefs that gambled. Any other takeaways from the racing this weekend?
No, just it's the same to me. It's the same thing over and over and over. I feel like the pack is good. The restarts are great. But then it just turns into a snooze fest almost.
Mm-hmm.
To me, there wasn't enough action. I mean, at the end there was, because you had Bowyer on two tires, Harvick on four, you know, fighting for the lead. That was pretty good, but that needs to be sustained throughout the race,
the whole race, not just portions. Poor Kenseth, he had a tire issue in stage one, ended up coming home 33rd.
So one thing I really enjoyed, did you see Chase pass for the stage, I think it was stage two, where he was coming up from like 9th or whatever. Or
yes.
He took 10th from, was it Hamlin?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that was kind of funny too, because Hamlin was battling and then chasing him, getting around over him and knocking
and
him out.
Byron did that too. Byron got around, I think it was Hamlin as well in another stage and scored a stage point. So kudos to those guys.
Yeah.
It was good to see them.
I think stages do kind of help with the excitement a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
It was just funny seeing that them trying to stay in the top 10 and fighting with whoever it was he was fighting with. I can't remember who it was now. And then Chase taking it from him. That was kind of funny.
Right. Yeah, sure. So, you want to elaborate more on the suspensions that happened for those penalties to Gibbs?
Sure. Essentially, the car chiefs, actually, this is a question I had, and I've never mentioned it, but it was answered by another person this week that I seen on Twitter. So, why are, back in the day, it's always the crew chiefs get suspended when there's infractions. Now it's the car chiefs being suspended when there's infractions, not the crew chief. So why is that? Do you know why?
I mean, it's obviously NASCAR's call, right? They're the ones that decide who's suspended.
Right.
But to minimize the damage, I guess, maybe?
So essentially, NASCAR has released this, like, it's kind of like on the down low, nobody talks about it, but NASCAR did explain why. Their explanation is that the crew chief overlooks pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they can handle their jobs remotely. So they can call in, do video conferencing, whatever, to take care of whatever they need to, because they can watch the race on TV and make the call.
There's no punishment.
There's little punishment.
Gotcha.
A car chief, A lot more hands-on, needs to be there to make shots on the car to get the car back out on the track and perform the best on the track.
It's funny because I was thinking maybe the opposite. You know, you really need your crew chief there to set up the cars and stuff. But it makes sense, too. Yeah, they could, you know, just a little bit of dialogue and feedback, you could probably do that remotely, like you said. So
So with the car chiefs being a lot more hands-on, it feels a bigger punishment to have the car chiefs not there over the crew chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes sense. I never really knew why they started suspending the car chiefs. Now I do. So fans, you're now informed by the gas man.
So those crew chiefs will not be in Sonoma. Again, we have an off weekend for Cup coming up this weekend, Father's Day. But they'll be suspended from Sonoma, which, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that your favorite racetrack?
Second to
Gas Man loves road courses.
I do. Second to the Roval that we haven't raced at yet. Actually, I'm kind of excited about the Roval. Just
the Roval, let me ask you this. Growing up together, you always hated the road courses. I know you sucked at them in video games on PlayStation and Xbox and all that. But why do you hate them so much?
Because there's no...
They're some of the most exciting racing.
Now, I felt like in the past they weren't, though. But now the racing on the oval tracks has become so dull that the road courses now are more exciting than the oval tracks.
Okay.
So I get, and today's world, I kind of like the road courses.
Can you speak up a little bit? Can you say that a little louder?
So the road courses do a better job of impressing me now. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, to me, it wasn't enough passing, wasn't enough excitement.
Well,
it was.
Let's talk about that. Why? Because the teams didn't put much emphasis on it.
Yeah, true.
They saw it as a weekend to get through,
And I think the drivers seen over that too. And that's why these replacements like Boris said came in, because they could take advantage of that.
Exactly. But now that's not happening. Everybody's equipment is second to none. They've got, you know, the good packages. The drivers are honing their own skills.
And everybody is now a talented road course driver. You got Kyle Busch, Truex, Keselowski, Harvick, all of them winning races at these tracks. In the day.
In the 90s.
Occasionally you have a Dale Senior do good or Rusty do good, but they weren't the perennial, like, pushers like what we have in today's world. So I think video games may even played a part with that.
Yeah, I mean, the mid-90s through mid-2000s, it was like every other race was either Gordon or Stewart, or, you know, it was it, you know. But nowadays,
I remember watching a race with you as a kid. We're eating pizza and Stewart comes up and just checks Gordon.
Yeah, I remember that too. And then they had some words in the hauler area.
I remember from that day forward, you hated Tony Stewart.
At the time I probably did. I didn't continue to hate Stewart. I like Tony Stewart. But, yeah, I was not happy then. I do remember that.
All the things that stick with us.
It's funny, though. You do. You create those memories based off of those situations, and they stick with you forever.
Forever and ever. And that's why we're NASCAR fan, and I'm sure you folks have some similar situations. So tell us about them.
Yeah. That's a perfect example of what we could talk about next week. So if you got a similar situation like that, a race, something that happened in a race, maybe it's not the finish or who won it, but something that happened in a race you will never forget. Like, it'll take you back to that race in an instant. You can tell me exactly what racetrack it was and maybe even the year.
I love that. I love that. And fans, we love talking to you. And we've had some conversations with fans this past week for winners and stuff on our Facebook competition. So it was great talking to you guys. So again, thank you, and always reach out to us.
Yeah. Okay, what else? What next?
I really don't have a whole lot on the race anymore. I mean, I got some other news, but really nothing anymore about Michigan other than congrats to the weatherman.
Yeah.
You know,
Mr. Boyer, do you see him winning more this season?
I actually do. I see, because here's the thing.
Weather involved?
I see him, yes, exactly. I do see him win without weather involved. And here's the reason why. Stuart Haas, no one could touch him at this point. Now, later in the season, that might be proved wrong. As of right now, where we stand, any of their cars can win a race.
Right.
At any time, any track. And they're that consistent. So, absolutely. You know what? We're going to be at the Coke Zero 400.
Zero Sugar
400 next month, aren't we, Lugs?
Yeah, you can officially say that. Yep.
So, next month. It'd be interesting to see him win that race.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to. I mean, that's okay if it happens, but I think there's some other drivers I'd rather see win in person.
Here's the thing. I've never.
I want to see a new winner. I want to see a new winner this season.
True, but I love. Okay, yes. I agree with everything you're saying. But here's what I love about Bowyer winning.
He's good for the sport.
The enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Who else has that kind of enthusiasm when they win, man?
About partying.
It really brings back good memories for us. It makes you want to be a part of the sport again.
Yeah.
It just, whenever it's the same person over and over, and like, hey, I won again, you know, and they just bow to the stands.
Bush.
If you didn't know, it's my bow to the stands comment right when you said that. Worked out well. But just seeing someone like him. Mm. You know who else I would love to see win a race? AJ Allmendinger. I think it would be like ecstatic, through the roof, crazy.
Well, he has won a race.
Well, I mean,
this year.
AJ won it all. Okay, at the All-Star. But I mean, in actual points.
He has. Watkins Glen.
This year?
Not this year.
You said this year.
No, I'm saying, are you saying this year?
No, I'm saying this year. Yeah, Watkins. I'm saying that I would like to see AJ Allmendinger win a race this year.
Okay.
Yeah. I know he's won a road course.
Okay.
I was thinking that little kid in us, that these little events spark that. And I think when we see it, it makes us excited for them.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing Bowyer react at Martinsville, see Bowyer react here at Michigan, makes us kind of a little giddy inside. Like, man, this is actually good. We love the sport, right?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's what NASCAR wants to see, as many, you know, winners each season as they can. But
you know. I cannot wait for Chase Elliott to win a race, but I don't think it's going to be exciting. The guy is so quiet and calm. Maybe when he does, it'll be different.
Yeah.
But thinking about the personality difference between Clint and Chase.
Yeah.
But, so
yeah, you know, you're right. Chase is a pretty reserved guy, but maybe there's a side we haven't seen of him or we don't know. Maybe that'll come out in Victory Lane. I hope it does. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, let's move on to some other news. What do you have? I'll let you start first.
Well, you know, I'll go ahead and get up on my soapbox a little bit here. So
let me pull it out from underneath the table.
Yeah. You normally hoard it on your side there. But so I just want to take a second and really complain about Elliot Sadler.
The Xfinity race,
I
guess? Yeah.
Like, okay, however old Elliot is, I'm assuming he's probably in his early 40s now, right?
But I would say probably mid-40s.
Okay, so
I feel like he's been around forever.
He has been around forever, and that's my point here, is he should know better. He got so upset in the Xfinity race Saturday at Michigan. They had the rules package with the restrictor plate and everything, so there was a lot of tight racing. There was a lot of strategy involved. You had to make your, you know, specific moves and draft with partners and everything. So he got passed at one point on the front stretch and thought that there was a hole to the outside of him that he could squeeze in.
Right.
So he went for it. He also, I guess, expected Alex Bowman to lift and give him the hole, which, you know, they're the same manufacturer, but they're not technically teammates, I guess you could say, you know, alliance or whatever you want to call it. But so it didn't happen. Bowyer did not leave him the gap. So they made contact, effectively kind of ruined Bowman's day. So Bowman had to pit, fix all his damage and everything. And Sadler, under the caution, he pits, fixes his damage, comes out, and basically sideswipes Bowman. Throws this giant temper tantrum, which, you know, if you go back and watch the replay, it's a racing incident, dude. Like,
yeah, some people get their panties in a ball.
You didn't, just because you're in the Xfinity series and you've been there the last, what, 5 years, okay, you couldn't cut it in Cup. I'm gonna say that.
He had his moments.
What races did he win?
Did he win Texas 1 year?
Yeah, but I mean, other than,
and he had a maybe Bristol once.
I don't know if he won Bristol. I know he won Texas, but
I'd say he had his, I didn't say he was a perennial every weekend driver, but he had his moments.
But his starts far outweighed
any
of his good results. We'll just put it that way. And the same thing happened in Homestead last year. Granted, he was fighting for a championship with William Byron, okay? But he essentially bitched and complained and threw a huge fit because he couldn't get past Ryan Preece. He was trying to get around Ryan Preece, who had fresher tires than him. And because Ryan Preece raced him so hard and held him up, Byron went by, got by him, and ended up winning the championship. And I get it. That's a championship, right? But, man, quit being such a crybaby about everything. Right? It's racing for a reason, okay? Nothing's handed to you, okay? So
unless your daddy's got a lot of money, Pulmonary.
Okay. Yeah, but that's not going to hand you the results, okay? Although he did get fifth, I think, this week. So yeah. Bad weekend to make that comment, I guess. But I don't know. That's my soapbox. Like, come on, Sadler. Get off of your high horse, man. You got to race just as hard as everybody else and work for your results. That's my only complaint, I guess, about that. So that's my soapbox for the week. I feel like he needs to own up, man. You're a veteran. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, and we see it though time and time again. You have various drivers out there who have the hothead, the selfish attitudes. And you have to be somewhat selfish, but you also have to understand that we've all been on the, not we, as in all the other racers have always been on the other, even themselves have been on the other side of that shoe at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So take a step back, enjoy life a little bit, and don't be a dick.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's out there is going for the same real estate.
Absolutely. You can't have the expectation they're going to lift.
Right.
Yeah, the expectation should be that they're not going to lift.
And especially Bowman. You know, Bowman was in the 23. Last week it was Chase Elliott. He's just trying to get some extra seat time. He shouldn't lift for the regulars. I mean, yeah, I get it. Bowman's in Cup. Sadler's not. But, you know, Bowman's out there trying to establish his name, even though he's in the Cup, you know what I mean? He's trying to still make a name for himself. He's not signed to the 88 forever.
Yeah, exactly. He's not your Cup driver who's going to be there day in, day out exactly. For the next 20 years. You don't know where he is because he's almost a rookie.
He's still trying to exactly make a name for himself. So anyways, that's my soapbox. I'll get off of it now and let you talk about
we have
something.
It back, man, because I'll need it sometime.
Do you need
this
it today?
Week, not this week.
Really? Okay.
Not this week, shockingly, but... Okay.
Let's talk about that rumor we brought up earlier.
What rumor?
Go ahead. So we cracked open the monsters. I said Jimmy Johnson wouldn't like that. So there's a rumor swirling in the garage that Red Bull could be coming to sponsor Johnson as Lowe's is leaving. We all know is leaving at the end of this season. What's your thoughts on that?
So I don't want to say I'm shocked, but in a way I'm a little shocked. And here's the reason why, is that we all know that Red Bull's had their foot in all kinds of different series, events.
Motorsports, yep.
Yeah, and they've kind of taken a dial or step back from NASCAR since they had their failed car days. And they did other series and not so much on NASCAR itself. I feel like, I don't want to say they're a failing brand because they're not, but they're not the brand they used to be.
No, how many times do you see people with a Red Bull in their hands?
Nobody. Only time that anybody drinks Red Bull is when they're drinking Jägermeister.
It's all Monster. That's all I see.
Hot dogs.
That's all I see is Monster.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Monster is an awesome fit for NASCAR, and I actually like them being our series sponsor title. I don't see Red Bull having that kind of impact.
Do you remember when Sprint was obviously the official series, you know, sponsor, title holder. And at one point they said that AT&T couldn't be in the sport anymore, couldn't sponsor Jeff Burton.
Right.
You remember that?
I remember they had, even his logo was blacked out. You remember that?
Yeah.
On his fire suit.
Yeah. So because he was basically grandfathered in, they allowed it to up to a certain point, and then they basically got ushered out of
it. Yeah, so I was kind of surprised also for that same reason.
I'm wondering if this isn't the same situation. Monster's leaving after... Is it next year?
Yeah, so yeah, I guess. I mean, they're only signed through 2019.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised that Monster doesn't have some say in that.
Well, here's another thing, is that usually when you talk about beverages, it's beverages in general. So there's been a lot of, like, in the past where for example, Junior, with me, he's sponsored by Budweiser, cannot have any other kind of beverage sponsor, etc. Or you can't take, Hendrick couldn't sign Junior with the Budweiser sponsor because they are already sponsored by a beverage company.
And that's Pepsi. Happening now.
It is. So what I'm thinking is that because there's already so many different beverages out there on cars, you know, Busch mm-hmm. Light, Bud, whatever, Mountain Dew, Pepsi, you know, Coke, that I think there's probably a clause in there about beverage companies. They can't exclude beverage companies because mm-hmm. they're already such a prevalent spot of the sport that this probably is grandfathered in underneath that clause. That's just a guess. I don't know that for sure, but it probably falls if they wanted to come in, they could.
It's a fair assessment,
Because a generic beverage comment. Yeah. Not, they may have a clause in their contract saying no energy drinks, possibly.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But what constitutes an energy drink? Everything's got caffeine in it. That could be constituted as an energy drink.
Right.
So there's probably some kind of legalities there that allows them to have that loop.
Yeah. And, you know, a perfect example of that is look at Hendrick Motorsports, right? All of them are associated with Pepsi products, Mountain Dew, all of that. And you don't see on any of their show cars at any of the events, maybe you've noticed it, maybe you haven't, but any of their show cars, even their diecast cars that they put out, don't have any Monster logos on them.
True. Very true.
Because they're associated with Pepsi and Monster is associated with Coke. So, you know, battling brands there. So
yeah, I just remember Jeff Burton wearing his AT&T or Singular fire suit and his Sprint Cup logo that he has to wear is blacked out. That was always funny.
And when I think someone, it was on Twitter, someone called out Johnson or asked him about, you know, what's the realistic, you know, situation there of that actually happening with Red Bull coming to his car. He didn't dispel it.
You know, he didn't. Not at all. He just said he'll be making an announcement soon, pretty much is what he said.
Yeah, so to me, kind of, if you're going to leave the door open like that, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I'm still surprised by that, because I think Red Bull will be more of a mid-pack level sponsor and not a premium sponsor, but I could be wrong, because I just, again, when we're out and about, we don't see people with Red Bulls like,
and not only that, but think about this too though, is market share in the U.S. Yeah, Monster does have a huge market share in the U.S. but I know Red Bull is, what are they, Swedish?
I don't know. They probably are, but I really don't know.
I think that they are. So they, I know for a fact Red Bull is bigger, has more market share globally than they do in North America. So, you know, it might be them trying to establish and get that market share back. You know what I mean? Take it away from Monster. They know Monster's got a stranglehold here, so they're trying to take it back.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? Speculation can go a thousand different ways.
And it's but fun.
It is absolutely fun. I tried to break it down and analyze it. The what ifs, maybe what's going to happen, not happen, etc. Other news for today, we'll move on, is Matt Kenseth. Did you see that he's going to be taking more seat time than anticipated at first? I think they included another 10 races for him to drive over Trevor Bayne.
Yeah, they sure did, actually. I've got a list here. Let me find it. 1 second.
You're fine. I'll talk a little bit while you're looking.
Okay.
So this week was, I thought it was going to be a really good week for Kenseth, and he finished 33rd. He ended up having a tire issue towards the end of the first stage. So one question to throw your way while you're looking at your info here, has it been a disappointment since he came back?
I don't think it's been a... Maybe a disappointment to Matt Kenseth, but not to the fans.
Or do you think Jack Roush expected his performance to
Here's
be a little bit
thing.
Better?
Which... Here's the thing. From, you know, a Gordon fan that saw his driver go out of the spotlight and then come back the very next season when you didn't expect it, you didn't know the unknown, you know, you thought your driver was done, and Gordon came back and he stepped in for Dale Jr. when he had his concussion issues. Did Gordon run good? No.
Not great. Yeah, he didn't do horrible.
He had a few good finishes. Yeah. But you know what? For me, man, it was seeing my driver back out on the track again. You know?
Yeah, very true. And I think he's deserving of being back on the track.
And I think that's the same thing here. Like, the true Kenseth fans are glad that their driver's back. The fact that he finished 33rd this weekend or 28th last weekend or whatever it was, I mean, I think most fans would be happy to say that the fact that they're happy he's back out there, you know? And hopefully the results will come with time. Looking here, so Bain is actually back in the car when we go to Sonoma next. He's also at Chicagoland and Daytona. But then Kenseth comes back for Kentucky, New Hampshire. We go back to Pocono again, and then Watkins Glen, as well as Darlington, Indy, Dover, Martinsville, Phoenix, and Homestead. So it looks like they're gonna split the races in the chase as well, which could be interesting, man. Like, think about that. Because what if somehow Kenseth got in the top 30 of points and scored a win somehow? How crazy?
Yeah,
that'd be
awesome, wouldn't it?
They'd have to kick Bane
yeah, right,
out of the chase, right? But as of now, he's only in 6 of the last 10 in the chase. So we'll see. Maybe that could happen.
It definitely brings a different perspective to what could happen.
Now,
so
what about next year?
That's a good question.
Does he come back? Does he full-time? Do they still share a ride?
I think he almost have to be full-time. Because why would you... I don't want to use the word dick, but why would you dick Trevor Bayne around this year like you did with Kenseth if you didn't have plans to do that? Unless there's somebody in the fold, like a Chris Bell or something, they're going to try to steal away. And
maybe Kenseth has got his eyes on another ride we don't know about. I haven't really looked to see whose contract's in this year, but who's to say he doesn't just ride out the storm in that 6 car until something else comes up for next year?
Yeah, very, very true. I mean, again, speculation, who knows? I think he'll be with Roush again next year. I think he'll finish out his career with Roush. Way he came in, he'll leave.
You need to get him back in the 17, though.
I know. We've talked about that before. Definitely need to switch him and Stenhouse around.
Because I believe...
And somehow find some way to get DeWalt back.
Stenhouse drove the 6 in Xfinity. So
yes.
Just need to swap him around. Listen to us, Jack Roush. We know what we were talking about.
Yes, Cat in the Hat, contact us.
So, just one other thing I want to point out. So, again, Xfinity and Truck Series are racing this weekend. Yeah, they are both in Iowa. So, Truck Series race Saturday night, and then Xfinity is Sunday afternoon. So, don't have to completely go with a racing withdrawal of NASCAR. You do have Truck and Xfinity this weekend, and then... good old Cup will be back at Sonoma.
Look forward to that. Actually, you know what? I am kind of looking forward to that race. I know I always give crap to the road courses, but it has been pretty decently exciting the last couple of years. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it keeps up with that trend.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me regret me saying that, Sonoma. You understand? So... let's talk about a little fun news real quick. Did you hear about the fan who attended his 1,000th race?
That's a lot.
Yeah, so I think it was a Daytona 500 in 63, won by Tiny Lund, was his first race. And at Michigan this past week, he took in, not just watched on TV, whatever, he took in personally his 1,000th race.
Good grief.
Isn't that crazy?
I wonder what the average is out to be. Did you do the math?
I did not. No, I did not.
Why not?
Okay, yeah,
You always put the math on me.
So, all right, I'll come up with that later, okay?
Okay, while you figure that out, did you hear about the debacle with the F1 race in Canada over the weekend?
I did.
So apparently they ended the race 2 laps early because there was a scoring error and they waved the flag early. It was a huge mess. But... you know what? That was the most exciting thing in that race, if anybody follows F1, because Vettel led like every single lap.
Yeah.
So that literally was the most exciting thing that happened in that series this week.
That's why F1 sucks. I say
careful,
that.
Careful.
I know.
It's not
know.
Your soapbox this week.
I know.
It's mine.
It's, yeah. I think it's been well documented, my feelings on these other series. It can't hold a stick to NASCAR. So.
Did you get that math worked out?
I did. It turns out to be about 19 and a quarter races per year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it's basically...
What's this guy do for a living?
No, 19 to 20 races a year.
He's my role model. He's my hero.
Yeah, no kidding. So anyway, Joe, I think his name is Joe Bauman. Congrats to you. That's awesome, man. We're jealous. We're jelly of the old man. Yeah.
That's like... almost over half of the races.
Yeah,
good
each
Lord.
Year, yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. Have
that
much time.
Some cash.
Yeah, no kidding. Throw some our way for our Daytona trip.
Donate.
You can donate to our, you know, wreckingracing.com and donate to us to help us out. So let's take a step back real quick. We're jumping from NASCAR to F1. Let's go back to NASCAR. So this is just not a soapbox issue, but just going back to what we are trendsetters. We talk about NASCAR every week and the decline and what we need to do to make it better. It really took off this week. They were showing the amount of fans at Michigan.
Yeah, but
I know
it's
rain
and
stuff.
Weather.
But okay, yes. 20
you gotta,
years ago,
you got to think a big percentage nowadays. They're gonna look at the weather before they, you know, make a 3-hour drive or 2-hour drive if they're
sure.
in the surrounding areas.
Sure.
I know I would.
Sure, I agree with that. It was a little disappointing just from the fact that. It is Michigan, the big three automakers, located there, and there was so many empty seats. But anyway, not just us talking about it, it blew up all over Twitter and social media from various writers, such as Bob Pottgrass and, you know, many others were talking about it as well, with the lack of fan participation and just mm-hmm. the fans not being there. I didn't know if you seen any of that this week.
I didn't, but, you know, I tune that stuff out. Whenever weather comes in, I mean, I think you're limited. Your hands are tied to a degree. I mean, I think that a lot of fans are going to... No one wants to go sit in the unknown, you know. Maybe the race is going to start an hour late. Maybe it's going to be delayed a full day. But,
yeah,
you know, for me, you know, I kind of block that out. I'm not gonna listen to the hearsay on that when weather's involved.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. I was bringing it up because I know we have talked about, in non-weather weeks permitting, we have talked about it, but it really took off on Twitter this week. And Keselowski made some kind of comment about racing, the style of racing needs to change, and made some comments about these packages, rule packages and stuff. And some drivers came to defense, some other people call him an idiot, whatever. But it also brought up a lot of conversation this week. Bottom line is, we need more short tracks. Get the excitement, you know.
I agree with that, yeah.
Get away from some of these cookie-cutter mile and a half and get back to some old-school racing and just to try to lighten things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's my two cents.
Yeah. Be cool to see them at Eldora.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
They don't have the capacity. That place would sell out in an hour.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
But it would be cool. So... I don't have anything else. I got one more question for you, but okay. As far as talking points, you got
anything else? I don't have any other news or anything, no, sir.
Okay. So we're 15 races, got 15 races in the books for the 2018 season. Gasman, give me a bold prediction. Something's going to happen in these next, you know,
AJ Allmendinger is going to get a win.
That's okay. Okay. That's feasible. That's bold, but it's feasible. Yeah.
It's not one of your easy predictions.
No. And arguably, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, he hasn't really been a strong force at the road courses the last few years as he had, you know, prior.
Right.
So, you know, I'd like to see him rejuvenate that
sure
strength at the road courses.
Sure. And he's had a couple of top tens this year and
he
stuff.
Has. He's
and
been
I
up
think,
there.
I don't think he's been horrible.
He's been,
so
he's been competitive. Yeah. I think that, while it's very marginal, I think that race team, they get a little bit better each year, but it's only marginally. I wish it was bigger.
Yeah, so. Brad Daugherty, you need to put some more money into your program.
All right, well, that's all I've got.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really have anything else either. So, fans, thank you again for listening. As always, we love you guys. Now, please send us those questions we can answer on next week's episode. And always reach out to us, wreckingracing@gmail.com, or just check us out at wreckingracing.com. And thank you again. You guys have a great night.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.